Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here, and we're here Monday through Friday. When we're not here, we're somewhere else doing what we do, which is essentially bring the world to you through the fractured lens that is the Phil Hendry Show. The best way we know how in this fractured world that we live in. And there is some fractured stuff going on. Now, I have Margaret. How are you doing?
Well, I'm good.
Margaret Gray is going to be joining us. Those of you who know her from her guest appearances.
Yay! Thank you.
All right, bud. Thank you very much, bud.
Yeah, just wanted to welcome Ms. Gray on a show.
I appreciate that. Can I say something?
Let me just introduce you. Margaret has been on our show as a guest, a frequent contributor, but we do want her on the program. Because there's no question, Margaret, you have a decidedly, I guess, you know, I don't like to think of myself, I'm not really conservative, but you have a much more liberal point of view than me. Would you say that's fair?
I would say that's very fair, and I would also say that it's fair to say that you're very conservative.
I don't agree with that.
Well, that's fine. I'm not really, what am I allowed to say here?
Just say what you want to say.
I'm not asking you.
All right, well, hold on. Let's not get into fights right away.
No, I'm not getting into a fight. I'm laying down the ground rules for Robert and Bud. Do you understand?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, Mr. Henry's going to be the one to lay them down.
Yes, I'll lay the ground rules down, but Margaret, I want to know what your comfort level is.
My comfort level is not having this one here, Dickman, saying, oh, well, you better ask Mr. Henry, you know.
No, you got to make fun of the way I talk or something.
I'm not making fun of the way you talk. What I bitterly resent is that when I say something, there you are, like this court jester that sort of sits in the shadows with the bells on your hat, you know.
Well, that's not right. Yeah, you saying that thing.
All right, now hold on for just a minute. What I want to say, Margaret, is this. I think you are entitled to say what you want to say. And, Bud, the reason why I've got Margaret on is I've got nothing against you guys. And no, it doesn't mean your role is diminished, okay?
Yeah, just want to make sure about that.
That's not what, dude, look at, man, you know, I make the call, okay?
Now, you're all nervous the way you said that.
Well, you did come off sounding nervous.
Come off sounding nervous about what?
Well, you're laying the law down, but you're saying, you were.
Yeah, you're so, like, I'm not sure.
I'm sure. Believe me, I'm sure. I'm sure as to what it is I'm saying. I lay down the law, but I want everybody to have a comfort level. But Margaret obviously is going to be afforded a bigger platform, if you will. She's going to be afforded a wider space, if you will.
Because, I better not say.
No, go ahead.
Well, because of how big your butt is?
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Hey. Whoa. Why'd you put your hands on his throat?
No one says that about me. You know something? I've got to just reboot here.
Hold on, Margaret.
No, I'm rebooting.
Why did you say that, man?
She said you need a wider space.
I said that. I'm going to tell you something, man.
You know, I walk back in.
Well, you walked out.
No, I want to say something. Because my butt is bigger, is that what you said?
Mr. Henry said a wider space.
And so you thought that meant I need a bigger chair because my ass is big.
That's what the assumption was, yes, ma'am. But I make an assumption.
No, this is an assumption.
Well, I have an assumption for you. I'm going to assume that you're missing about two-thirds of your brain and that what's left sort of rolls around inside your skull, all right? So that everything you say, I will react to based upon my belief that you really don't have much more skill than to be able to eat with your hands.
Yeah.
And to need assistance in the toilet.
Okay. What do you mean?
In other words, you don't know enough to wipe your own anus.
Oh. Okay, come on, will you?
No, I mean it.
All right, well, if this is how it starts, then obviously this is a failure. Right out of the gate.
No, it's not a failure. It's not a failure. But if he is going to call me a fat ass or my ass is too big...
Ms. Gray, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to say that or anything.
No, if that's what you want to say, that's fine. But I'm going to move forward on the premise that you need assistance wiping your own anus... And in eating.
No, you said I eat with my hands.
Right, you eat with your hands. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Oh, okay, well, great. That's much better than what you did say, which was that he needs assistance in eating. Now he eats with his hands, and he needs help wiping his anus. Isn't that what you said?
Well, are you getting some prurient thrill out of that?
Yeah, what is there, some dirty kick that you get?
No, I'm not getting a dirty kick. I'm wondering whether I can actually say that on the air.
Well, you didn't say it, Phil.
Could you speak up, please?
You didn't say it. I said it.
All right, fine. Let's just take a break here, okay? And when I say take a break, you guys just allow me to just jump into the show here, if you don't mind. Thank you. All right, one of the things that we never mention on the show, and we might have mentioned it, maybe we didn't already, the fact is that, by the way, I love you guys in radio who always tweet what a killer show you had. You never really talk about what you did on your show, but you say, killer show tonight. Well, what the hell did you do, man? And then they'll say the guest they had. We never do that with our show, you know.
Yeah, it's true, man.
We don't. What we say is, tonight we had so-and-so and such, and this is what we talked about. And we let the so-and-so and the such-and-such, and this is what we talked about, we let that speak for itself, you know. And you can say, well, that sounds like it really sucked, or you can say, oh, that's moderately interesting, and you can go over. But I don't know, I don't come from that orientation. Wow, what a killer show tonight. Yeah, what did you do? Well, we, you know. You what, man? You talked about the county fair? In any event, in looking over Twitter, I suddenly realized that you guys are, you probably don't know that we do have a Twitter account. It's twitter.com/realphilhendry. Margaret, you are on Twitter. That is correct?
Yes, Phil. It is twitter.com/MargaretGray, and that is Gray spelled with a G-R-E-Y. And
also,
excuse me, but I'm talking. God.
Bud.
My husband, Frank Gray, is also on Twitter. And Frank is at twitter.com/FrankGrayEsquire. That's Frank Gray, G-R-E-Y-E-S-Q.
Yeah, well, good.
Would you shut your mouth? I swear I'm going to...
Why?
Phil, one word from you, I'll put my hands back around his throat.
That was very shocking, though.
What was?
The fact that you grabbed his throat.
Yeah, try to strangle me.
When someone says to me... do you have a bigger part on the Phil Hendry Show because your ass is big? When someone asks, do I need a bigger platform because my arse is too wide, I put my hands around their throat.
Well, ma'am.
No, not well, ma'am, anything. I put my hands around their throat.
Ma'am, I didn't mean to say nothing about it.
Well, then don't say nothing about it.
Oh. I would rather you not do that.
I don't really care.
Well, I if you put your hands around that guy's throat and you somehow choke him out...
What do you mean, choke him out?
I mean, if he passes out as a result of you cutting his wind off, which happens when you strangle people, they don't necessarily die. They'll pass out. And sometimes they pass out and bump their head on a table. Sometimes they pass out and they don't come to for a while.
Well, what are you accusing me of?
I'm accusing you of potentially being liable for injury to that guy. I hope you don't do it.
Yeah, if you did, then I would have no choice. I got to sue.
You know what? I don't understand half the stuff this guy says. That's what you sound like.
He was talking about he'd have to sue you.
Oh, you'd have to sue me. The wife of an attorney. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, here. Yay.
Well.
All right. So we're not 15 minutes into this show, and I got people that are threatening to sue each other. I've already had you put your hands on his throat.
And do not use that tone with me.
Margaret, I'll use any tone I want. You can walk off the show right now if you want to. I'll use any tone that I want on this show.
I had no idea that I would be in for this kind of abuse.
Well, you are. You're in for this kind of abuse and more. Now, I don't like to talk to you this way.
No, but you, I can tell you're getting your jollies.
Yeah, a lot of times you do.
No, I can tell you're getting your cookies. You know?
Why don't you talk like a lady? What do you mean, getting my cookies?
You know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean. I'm not getting my kicks talking to you rough. I'm trying to tell you the rules of the road. I don't want to have to talk about this anymore. I don't want to have to take up large swaths of time on this radio show threatening people, telling people to get in line, and so forth, okay? I swear to God, this is the only show in the history of the world, in the history of man on this planet, in the history of talk radio, where the host has to spend more time correcting and slapping back into line people that he has on the air with him. And I don't want to have to do that.
Well, Phil, if you're talking to me, you know, I know he's not talking to me.
Well, he's not talking to me. Well, who are you talking to?
I'm talking to all three of you. That's who I'm talking to. God, I'm already out of breath, man. You know that I've had vocal problems. I've been off and on with this vocal problem for a long time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I had to take time off, go to ear, nose, and throat guy.
Well, why didn't you tell me? I could have sent you over to Dr. Melvin. Why didn't you tell me?
I don't know who Dr. Melvin is.
Well, I do know who Dr. Melvin is, and it's someone that we could have had you treated, and we could have had you back on the air. How long were you up?
Well, I've had to take a day last night to get my throat straightened out, and it still doesn't feel like it's there.
Well, I'm going to call Frank during the break.
No, don't call Frank. Look, we got a show to do, and we're going to get into our show. We have, first off, Mitt Romney is the news, you know. And one of the reasons, Margaret, why I brought you on the show, and I can see you smiling.
Oh, I can't wait to sink my teeth in. Mitt Romney is an absolute disaster. He really is. And I cannot believe that the Republican Party has been so, and I think you've made this point, Phil, that the Republican Party has been so remiss and so utterly disconnected from the political reality of America that the Republican Party would nominate someone as sloppy, as ill-spoken, and ultimately as doomed as Mitt Romney. And I am very much looking forward to getting into this one tonight with you, Phil Henry. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Mr. Henry's the host.
I know that.
All right, hold on. Thank you, Margaret. That's one of the reasons why we brought you on the show, so we can hear from you as to the take on, you know, Mitt Romney. I think a lot of people listen to me and they go, well, Phil, you know, you're sometimes a conservative, sometimes you're not. Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about. You don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. So we have Margaret Gray with us. Bud Dickman also with us. Robert Leonard here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. The Milwaukee Lions took on the Tampa Gator Bait yesterday at Ed Henry Air Park Stadium in Clearwater, Florida. And if you want to hear the game, it is available for download, the full game, available for download in our Milwaukee Lion podcast archives at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. Let's start things off here. First of all, to again reiterate and to re-welcome Margaret Gray joining us as in-studio contributor. Good to have you, Margaret.
I'm very much looking forward to it, Phil. Thank you.
And we also have Robert and Bud with us.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, okay. And
will you not say thanks?
Yes, you can say thanks. All right. You can say thanks.
Well, we already did.
Yeah, I know you did, but you guys are making a big deal out of Margaret being on here, and I don't want you to do it and just stop, okay?
It's another dynamic, that's all.
Yeah. Go ahead. You tell Phil what you and I were talking about. You say it better.
Yeah. Phil, just one thing, okay?
What?
Ms. Gray, we're really happy to have you here.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
But it's another dynamic, you know, and what I was saying to Robert was that maybe we ought to have, like, Robert Corner or the Bud Corner or something.
You guys already do your iron swine stuff. Now, let me just continue here, okay?
All right, whatever.
I think what Phil's saying,
Just hold on for a minute. What are you saying?
I wanted to explain to you what Phil was saying.
I don't think we need you to explain, you know.
Yeah, we know the lay of the land. We've been with Phil a long time. That's all right. Thank you very much.
Well, excuse me,
but, you know, if you don't mind, you come in here trying to tell me how what go on and everything like that.
All right, take it easy, will you? Quit being so territorial.
I was going to suggest that it might be a good idea that the two of you have your little Bud's Corner or whatever, you know.
Well, I mean, it's not Bud's Corner like I'm going to be in a corner. I mean, it's okay. We
got the lay of the land.
Oh, good. Well, you have the lay of the land, then.
You guys are being very rude, you know.
Well, I mean, I just want to, you know.
She come bumbling in here, man, like a bull in a china shop.
There they go with the fat jokes, you know.
They're not making fat jokes.
I'm here. I'm listening.
All right, Republican Mitt Romney is running damage control after video of the presidential candidate telling wealthy donors that nearly half of Americans believe that they are victims was posted online. The video obtained by news magazine Mother Jones was reportedly captured at a closed-door fundraiser in Florida on May 17th before Romney formally secured the Republican nomination. In the clip, Romney shares frank opinions about voters who support U.S. President Barack Obama. And he says the following thing. He says, quote, "There are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe the government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. That's an entitlement," he says. All right, so the 47% that support President Obama are people who are dependent upon government, who believe they are victims, who believe the government has a responsibility to care for them. Another leaked video from the same $50,000 plate event shows the former Massachusetts governor questioning the feasibility of a two-state solution for the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. In the clip, he says Palestinians don't appear to be interested in peace and are, quote, committed to the destruction and elimination of Israel. The video was shot at a home in Boca Raton, Florida, belonging to private equity manager Mark Leder, or Mark Leder, according to Mother Jones. On Tuesday, it was revealed that the person to leak the tape was none other than the grandson of former President Jimmy Carter, a Democrat who was angry at the GOP attacks against his grandfather. Romney did not refute the authenticity of the video at a news conference held late Monday. Instead, he said his words weren't elegantly stated and were off the cuff. Romney, a multimillionaire businessman who spent much of his election campaign defending himself against the criticism that his wealth prevents him from relating to the average American, detractors pointed to his wife's Cadillacs and his venture capital firm in an effort to... How many Cadillacs has she got?
I don't know. I think she's got one or two. In other words, how many Cadillacs do you need? You know?
Yeah, she's probably got, like, more than one.
Okay, why don't we just let Margaret handle this segment, okay, guys? Just you back off, okay?
Well, I mean, I was not going to say nothing.
Just let her handle this segment.
Thank you. I don't know what to do here.
We'll work it out. So in the video itself, Romney alludes to the remarks made against him. What's he going to do? What's he going to do, by the way, is try and vilify me as someone who's been successful or who's, you know, closed businesses or laid people off and is an evil, bad guy. The video was posted online the same day Romney's campaign noted that it would be changing its strategy to catch up to President Obama, who holds a narrow 3-point lead in the polls. In the video, Romney makes markedly more unpolished comments about his strategy. My job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them that they should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. What I have to do is convince the 5 to 10% in the center that are independents. In a statement issued to the Associated Press, Obama's campaign referred to the video as shocking. It's hard to serve as president for all Americans when you've disdainfully written off half of the nation. All right, before we talk about this, Margaret, I just want to ask you, do you think it's fair to judge a man by comments that are made off the cuff or off the microphone?
Well, I absolutely do, because he is making these comments. How many times have we seen in the many years that we've dealt with these kinds of people? What are you doing?
I made a paper doll.
He's cutting paper dolls up over here.
Did you knock it off, bud?
What?
Because the paper doll says Margaret on it.
Yes, I noticed that.
Okay, I'm going to throw you out of here. Go ahead.
If you do, you know what, Phil? I don't need you to help me. If you do that one more time, you know what's going to happen.
All right.
So I think that Romney has been around long enough, and we've all been around long enough to know that microphones are open, that there are live mics, hello, and that the decision to make these comments, however odious and however insulting, the decision to make these comments by Mitt Romney was also a stupid thing to say. So you have really two very ill-considered decisions. Number one, he's making this statement and not choosing his words very well. How does he know he's not going to offend the people he's talking to, even if they are off the cuff? And the second comment, Phil, that I think is the second thing I have to say, Phil, that I think is equally important, if not more so, is doesn't he know by now, as many of these candidates must, that there are live microphones?
That's true.
Yes, that there are live microphones, and that these idiots are making these comments. And I would say the following thing before you cut me off here. Mitt Romney has shown himself to be so stupid I think the decision can be very well easily made right now not to vote for him.
All right, there's Margaret Gray. We'll be back with more here on Mitt Romney's comments today, or excuse me, the comments coming to light today, made back in May about 47% of America. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here from the El Pacifico, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we are online at philhenryshow.com. That is, we have live streaming video of our show every night from the El Pacifico, so you can watch us perform the show in studio. And you can also get a backstage pass and listen to hundreds of thousands of billions, well, actually, almost 5,000 hours, 5,000 hours of radio. All our show, and we also have a video archive, and we also have our Milwaukee Lions archive, and we also have other video casts that are in our archives. We've got other interviews we've done for media. We've got other radio shows that we've been interviewed on. We've got other TV things that we've done. All kinds of stuff there, man. It is digital, electronic, and broadcast media. That's what our site is about. It's about our radio show and all of the amazing things that we've done on the air and off. And if you want to be a part of that, it is $9.95 a month, and that's it. Now, I know that there's all kinds of internet subscriptions that a lot of you guys have, and I say this without any fear of being refuted in any way. Ours is the Best Buy online, period. Outside of porn, you know.
Why would you have to add that?
Because there's people going to say, well, what about a porn site? I can't compete with that.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, I'm a woman, and I'm sitting here, and I'm offended by that.
Well, you got to understand.
You know, hold on. Margaret, I don't mean any offense by that, okay? I'm just saying, you know.
I just think that to say that porn... So in other words, you excluded, and you did what Mitt Romney did today, Phil, by the way. You excluded one half of your audience. I hope you know that.
Okay, do you want to make an issue out of that, or do you want to talk about Mitt Romney?
Well, I want to talk about Mitt Romney, but I think when you say porn...
I'm just saying, there's going to be a lot of people who will say that it is much better to get a porn subscription than a subscription to your site, Phil, but other than that... A subscription to our site beats any other hands down. I don't care if it's the New York Times, man. You can come to our site and get an immediate laugh, and you don't have to screw around with anything other than that, you know? I mean, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why you'd have any subscription online other than a porn site or ours. Those are the only two you need. That's what I'm trying to say. The only two that you would need would be a subscription to your favorite porn site, which I know a lot of you guys have got anyway, so I'm not going to sit here and argue against that, and our site. That's it. Nothing else. You don't need anything else.
What about, like, they want to subscribe to the L.A. Times?
L.A. Times sucks compared to us. New York Times sucks compared to us. Newsweek sucks compared to us. Okay?
What about Bubba?
Oh, what about Bubba?
Bubba's great. Then you need to have Bubba and me.
What about Sirius?
Are you kidding? Sirius?
Oh, my God. You are going to go on record as saying Sirius is not worth the subscription fee that they should subscribe to your site.
I've already gone on record and say that the only two shows that are worth a damn over there are Opie's and Howard's, and the rest blow king-size primates. Huge, King Kong size, you know.
I am a very big Sirius XM fan because I happen to know Mel.
You know Mel, so see, I... You know,
Phil, don't be sarcastic. That's someone that can help your career.
Oh, can he really? You know, the guy has had 20 some years to help my career. He's had his chance. Mel's had his chance.
Oh, well, excuse him for not getting around to it.
Well, you know, do whatever he wants, man. I'm just telling you. I don't want to talk about this. I want to talk about Mitt Romney, okay?
You're the boss.
That's right. Yeah, he is the boss. And you ought to remember that.
Don't point your greasy finger at me.
Ow!
Hey, hey, hey! God, Margaret, I got to break a fight up between you and Bud. I brought you on this program for a little elegance. All right?
Then don't tell him to stick that greasy... What is on that finger?
What?
What is on the finger you just stuck in my face?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
What is... What, Bud?
I got to go to the bathroom. Are you kidding me, man? I didn't.
I think I'm going to be sick.
What did he do?
I probably didn't wipe good.
Didn't wipe good. Margaret, I apologize.
What are you running here?
Don't, just take it easy.
All right, I just forgot.
Forgot what, man? Nobody forgets to do that. Nobody.
Oh, man.
You really ought to be ashamed of you. I thought when I came on this program that there would be certain provisos.
Margaret, just hold on, will you, please? Now, on the line, we have a friend of yours. Bobby Dooley's going to join us. We do want to talk here about what was said today. I have the comments here by Governor Romney. Let's listen. These comments were made in what appears to be a meeting of supporters. Perhaps these are, it sounds like it's a strategy meeting. It was a meeting he was addressing. It was a meeting that he wasn't speaking off, when we say off the cuff, it wasn't that there was a... It wasn't that he didn't know he was talking into a microphone. He was talking into a microphone. Now, the video camera that was recording this looks as if it has been secreted or otherwise hidden. We're told that the video was released by the grandson of Jimmy Carter. I don't know if that means he took the video or if he just came into possession of it, but let's listen to Mitt Romney.
There are 47% of the people who vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. But it's an entitlement, and the government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what. And I mean, the president starts off with 48, 49, 43. He starts off with a huge number. These are people who pay no income tax. 47% of Americans pay no income tax. So our message of low taxes doesn't connect. And he'll be out there talking about tax cuts for the rich. I mean, that's what they sell every 4 years. And so my job is not to worry about those people. I'll never convince them that they should take personal responsibility and care for their lives. What I have to do is convince the 5 to 10% in the center that are independent, that are thoughtful, that look at voting one way or the other, depending upon, in some cases, emotion, whether they like the guy or not.
All right. Margaret, before you say anything, now I just want to make a comment here. I've made the decision that I'm going to vote for President Obama, and I've made that decision based on what I see as a man who does not understand the problems as well as Republicans would like me to think he does, and specifically this health care problem. But I also was very concerned by his making comments that appear to be for the consumption of media, or for that they seem to be patronizing, and sometimes they appear to be made for the publicity value. And I'm talking about the comment he made before the Olympics about their security, like, hey, I'm a president, and I'll tell you I know all about security, and it looks like things don't look good, and it was a very unfortunate thing. So having said that, you're not debating me. I want to hear what your views are, though.
Well, I understand that, and I know that... I know, Phil, that you make comments on your program oftentimes for effect, so I won't go any further on that.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Yeah, well, why are you butting in there?
Thank you very much, Bud. And did you wash your hands?
No, man, I'm just asking.
Thank you very much, Bud. And did you wash off the finger? That's what I'm asking about.
Did you wash your finger, Bud?
Yeah.
Okay, what is your question?
What are you going to say?
What?
Man, just shut up.
Let me continue. First of all, Mitt Romney, in that comment, and I will be very clear with your audience, these were comments made before a group of people that are support. They were not supporters, the staff members.
Right. That's. It appears as if it was a lunch or something.
Yes, it was a lunch that he was having with staffers, with support staff, and with people that were tasked with carrying out the Romney campaign strategy and... different aspects of it. So he's speaking to his own people.
Preaching to the choir.
Well, no, it's more than preaching to the choir. These are not potential voters. They're not even voters. They are staff. They are working for him.
But I'm preaching to the choir?
No, it's not preaching to the choir. It's different from preaching to the... Oh, God Almighty.
Come on, guys. It's not preaching to the choir, because preaching to the choir... It's as if you're saying, oh, he's out to try to get votes. No, he wasn't out to try to get votes and was talking to people whose votes he's already won. This is a strategy meeting. It's the difference between me going out and meeting listeners and me talking to you guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Good. Very good analogy, Phil. All right. So, now I forgot what I was going to say. May the God... I hope the Christian God damns both of you down.
Well, yeah, she just said for me to go to...
Shut up, will you? You were talking... Margaret, you were talking... Margaret.
Yeah.
You were talking about Romney and preaching to the choir.
Yes, exactly. All right. So Romney was talking to staffers. Now, I don't care whether it was a publicly made statement or not. Mitt Romney is expressing how he feels about certain things. Now, let's go back to the comments. These are comments, by the way, that are made, and they are made to these staffers, as you were saying, Phil. Let's listen one more time here to Mitt Romney.
47% of the people who vote for the president, no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that, they're a victim.
All right, now, right there, he says there's 47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what. And then he goes on to describe those people. They are dependent on government. They believe they are victims. They believe the government has a responsibility to care for them. All right?
Yes.
All right.
Who believe the government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they're entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. But that's an entitlement, and the government should give it to them. And they will vote for this president no matter what.
And so in other words, 47%, and remember what he said. He said 47% of all Americans.
There are 47% of the people.
Of the people. So 47% of all the people in the United States who will vote for Obama, and those people are... They're people who believe that the government should care for them. They're people who believe in entitlements. They're people who believe that they are dependent on government, that they're victims. Victims! Now, Phil, here's a news flash. You already said you're going to vote for Obama. I'm voting for President Obama. I am not on an entitlement. I am employed. My husband and I are very wealthy. You are employed. In fact, you employ people. Mitt Romney is an imbecile.
Okay, now here's where we get to...
No, hold on for a minute. No, this isn't where we get to anything. Mitt Romney is absolutely stupid if he doesn't understand who the supporters of Barack Obama are. Here is a man that doesn't know how to do basic math because he says 47% of all the people, or is it 47% of all the voters? Is it 47% of those people that were recently polled? I don't think he knows. But let's go even further. Let's talk about what he believes. And what he believes, Phil, makes him one of the dumbest human beings that God has ever created.
That's it?
Yes, that's it.
Mitt Romney is one of the dumbest human beings that God's ever created.
He is an absolute imbecile. The things that the man says, you pointed out his ridiculous statements before the Olympics. Now this idiot is making these comments about the 47%. I don't know how Mitt Romney gets out of bed in the morning and puts his pants on straight without putting them on inside out. I don't know. Take it easy.
Easy, bud.
That's just funny.
I don't know how Mitt Romney goes out into the world each day without getting hit by a car. I don't know how this man is able to put one word next to another word without it all coming out sounding like MF and C, you know, and up yours and everything else. I think he's inelegant. I think he is stupid. And I'll go you one better, Phil. You think Barack Obama's dangerous for this country? Mitt Romney, if he's elected president of the United States, God help our country. Because the most dangerous vote that you can cast in November is for this blithering idiot, Mitt Romney.
Man, shut up, man.
All right, hold on. That's Margaret's point of view. The most dangerous vote.
Far more dangerous than any vote you'd cast for Barack Obama. And I want to thank the Republican Party right now. I'm Margaret Gray, and I'm a writer. Let me thank all of you Republicans. Because you have fielded a candidate who is everything that you say Barack Obama is. Completely out of touch, dangerous, I mean very dangerous, to the point of possibly treasonous. And
This is the kind of hyperbole and ridiculous talk that I'm talking about.
What is?
No, treasonous, dangerous.
you know.
Well, Phil, if they're going to start throwing those charges around about Barack Obama, let's look at this on an even playing field. Let's take a look at this through dry eyes. This man, Romney, is an utter idiot. And the things he says, I'm telling you, Phil, this man may be able to run a corporation. He knows nothing about people. He knows nothing about the American people. And he is so stupid that it is dangerous to vote for him. And I will underline that again. Mitt Romney is so stupid, it's dangerous to vote for him. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey, Ms. Gray. All right, what are you paying him to applaud?
No, you're doing that spontaneously.
No, I think what she said is very good. And I think Bob probably ought to say that.
Yeah, well, they should hear another side of it.
All right, well, we are going to hear another side of it. We're going to get Bobby Dooley in here. We need a break, though, right, Dan? I think we do. All right, we'll take a break, and then Bobby Dooley's going to join us here in just a moment to give the pro-Romney side. But you just heard Margaret Gray say it. Mitt Romney is so stupid that voting for him would be dangerous, and voting for him may very well be treasonous. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is
I'm not
our
kidding.
Bitch.
I've been
the Phil Hendry Show.
I want to say something. You'll get your chance.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line now, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and we're going to get a little point-counterpoint going. I don't necessarily want a full debate going here, but I would like to hear what Ms. Dooley has to say, and then Margaret, you give your opinion. Bobby, you there?
I am, Phil. Thank you very much.
And Margaret, you up for this?
I'm very much up for it. Bobby, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Bobby, tell me about Mitt Romney's statements that were released within the last, you know, day or so, these statements at this what appeared to be some kind of a strategy meeting or a staff breakfast wherein he was describing what he thought the mountain was that he had to climb, describing President Obama's supporters and so forth.
Thank you, Phil. First of all, I want to say that what I heard Margaret say I thought was very unfortunate. To call a man an imbecile, to call him an idiot, I did not think was necessary, you know.
Well, but what if it's true, you know? What if it is true?
Well, I think that that's something that needs to be discussed as opposed to unilaterally decided.
What did I say that wasn't you found to be wrong?
Everything you said was wrong, everything.
And so you think that this is a man who speaks very clearly when he says that 47% of Obama's supporters are dependent upon government?
Well, I would like to finish, Phil, what I'm saying.
All right, let's let her finish, Margaret.
Well, I know, but I'm looking to try to offset a filibuster here, if I can.
I would like to finish what I'm saying, Phil.
And I'm simply looking to offset a filibuster if I can.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You don't know what a filibuster is?
All right, let me just say this. I'm going to moderate this. I don't want any butting in. I think this will be the best possible way of doing this.
I appreciate that very much, Phil.
But she doesn't know what a filibuster is.
A filibuster is basically talking and talking and talking, but I will regulate, okay?
That's fine with me.
Yeah, all right, whatever you say, Phil, but I do want to get out what I want to say. First of all, I heard Ms. Gray say that Barack Obama is stupid. He is an imbecile. There was an awful lot of name calling there, and I'm always very suspicious of name calling because I don't think that it identifies the problem. I think what the governor was saying was simply this, that there are people who do in this country tend to want the government to take care of their problems. They don't pay taxes. They do see themselves as victims of the government, and they don't believe in personal responsibility. Those people tend to be Barack Obama supporters. That's what Mitt Romney is saying. And I 150% support that, as does my husband.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, I'd love to get my husband in here.
Hold on.
I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet.
Well, but I'd love to get my husband in here.
I'm not finished yet. And so that's what I think the governor was saying. The governor was simply saying that of those Americans that do consider themselves victims and that do consider themselves dependent upon government and believe that they the government has a responsibility for them, those people are Barack Obama supporters.
Okay, Margaret.
All right, the governor said more than that, Bobby. The governor said 47% of the people.
Of the people that vote.
Excuse me, it's my, now I get to talk.
Of the people.
Excuse me, now I get to talk. I was told to be quiet, now I get to talk.
Well, it sounds like the news is coming up.
Is the news coming up?
Yeah, we are going to take a news break. I will be right back, okay?
This is obviously, this is very unfair, Phil.
Just hold on, all right?
Yeah, ha ha.
What did you say?
I said ha ha.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Go to hell. Ha ha.
Go to hell.
Ha ha.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You have access to the greatest value, the greatest bargain, the greatest buy online in the history of the world, in the history of the Internet, in the history of the World Wide Web. There it is. Our site is all about electronic, digital, and broadcast media. We have live streaming video cast. We have downloads of all of our shows going back over almost 15 years, over a decade. We have live video casts. You can watch the video casts on demand if you'd like to. You can get a podcast of our daily show. You can get, and this is not part of the subscription, you can get a free Phil Henry podcast that we do make available on our site through our free podcast banner. And starting this week, there will be a free Milwaukee Lions podcast. Bud Dickman, please tell them more.
Yeah, the free Milwaukee Lion podcast is going to be the highlight.
You know, I could do that a little better.
No, he said I'm going to do it.
But just let Bud do it.
Yeah, well, can I say something?
No, after I'm done, then you got to say something.
Oh, okay. Well, you go right ahead then. God.
All right, Margaret, let him just...
Yeah.
Right there. Wait, right there.
Yeah, then you get to have the free podcast.
Let me see that.
Margaret, let him do it.
Oh, the Gloid is messing it up.
Call me a Gloid.
Hey, hey, watch it with the Gloid thing, okay?
Fine.
The free podcast, or I mean the free Milwaukee Lion podcast, is available, or I mean tomorrow.
That was great. Yay. God, you are Abraham Lincoln. I swear the Gettysburg Address. The Gettysburg Address.
Why do you mock him?
Phil, I think it's time you come to some realizations around here.
No, but why do you mock him?
I think it's time you come to some realizations around here. I think these two Gloids hurt you.
Hey, hey, watch with the Gloid thing. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Wait, hold on. What do you mean Gloid? Don't use the term Gloid.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use that term Gloid. But I happen to have a healthy son, Phil. I guess I'm not sensitive to that word death. And excuse me, I'm not finished.
Yeah, it's not fair, though.
Hold on. I didn't mean to call you a Gloid. I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, Phil, this Gloidorama that you have each night with these two, it doesn't help you.
I don't like being called a Gloidorama, man.
Yeah, can I finish?
Well, you're not going to be able to finish these two's... These two's... Listen to me.
Yeah, listen to your language. Yeah, even the way that you communicate. You sound like some Bowery boy. I don't know.
Mr. Henry, I think it's wrong if she called it a Gloidorama. Yeah.
All right, hold on for a minute. Bobby Dooley is with us, and I have to get on the line with her. Look what you guys are doing to my news here. I got to get on the line with her, and I have to... Oh, my God. Bobby, are you there?
Phil, yes, I am. Can I make a statement? Because I just heard what Ms. Gray said. That is uncalled for. It really is.
I didn't know that you had a special understanding of that particular problem.
No, I don't have a special understanding of it, but I do have three sons. And, you know...
Yes, I'm familiar with your three sons, the ones that have been arrested.
My sons have never been arrested for anything. They have been in trouble occasionally with the police, but it has been for no reason other than practical pranks.
Phil, I think it's time that I tell your audience what her sons got in trouble for. First of all...
Excuse me, I will not allow that woman to speak for my sons.
All right, I'm not going to have this, okay? I don't want to hear about sons, I don't want to hear about daughters, I don't want to hear about family, all right? Or I'm going to hang up on you, Ms. Dooley. And Ms. Gray, I will consider this an experiment, having you in studio to be a failed experiment, and, you know, I will call Frank, and he can come pick you up.
Oh, you'll call Frank and he can pick me up. I drove here in my own car. What a sexist.
Well, he thought maybe your husband did.
I don't need you butting in, Gloyd. All right?
Just call me a Gloyd.
Don't call him a Gloyd, all right? God.
Well, I think the time has come for you to hear some truth. It really is. And...
It really is. The time has come for you to hear some truth. It really is. Who's the Gloyd now?
Yeah, hey, who's the Gloyd now? Give me five on that.
Get out of here, give me five. The second time.
Are you going to allow these two replicants to celebrate at my expense with their high fives and their low fives? Is that what's going to happen here?
Miss Gray, this is Bobby Dooley.
Is that right? I didn't know.
Never mind. Goodbye.
Miss Dooley, what is going on, Margaret?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. First, you're coming on here with the... Don't say anything, Bud, or Robert. Both you guys shut up. First, you're coming on here with the Gloyds. These two replicants. You know, you're talking about her sons. We can talk about your son if you'd like.
Well, you can talk about my son all the live long day. I've got nothing to hide.
Your son's he's gay. You know what?
Are you dirty?
Put your hands on his throat.
He comes in here and he has... How dare you tell me what you are making me out to be the bad person here?
You put your hands on this kid's throat twice tonight.
Phil... When I started talking, he comes in here pointing that finger, that feces-caked finger, at me.
No, it wasn't. Just because I forgot to wipe.
He forgot to wipe. This is what you've got in here for staff. No wonder I've reacted the way I've reacted.
Well, see, it doesn't have a point, Phil.
All right, now hold on for a minute.
I'm telling you, I think it's harassment. It is sexual harassment.
How's sexual harassment just because I forgot?
Bud, how do you forget to wipe, man?
Good question, man.
It is a good question.
How does that happen, man?
I was in a hurry because I knew that we had to get on the air.
You were in a hurry, so when you get off the toilet, you don't wipe? No one forgets to wipe. No one. Except for you.
Yeah, so it's a first time for everything.
Okay, there's a first time for everything, all right. Still in all, that's a hell of a first time for something.
First time for everything.
Oh, God, here we go. He's going to sound like a broke... He's going to sound like one of those wind-up... Some wind-up toy.
First time for everything, though it is true.
Yeah, first time for everything.
Yes, okay, first time for everything. And then what? There's a first time for everything. There's a first time for a lot of things.
Well, aren't you going to make the Hitler analogy?
What Hitler analogy?
There was a first time for 6 million people being murdered, too.
That, I don't think...
That was not necessary, okay?
Why? Why wasn't that necessary?
This is why people don't like Hitler analogies. I'm talking about a guy that didn't wash after he wiped.
All right, and for some people, him not washing his hands after he wipes is tantamount to the Holocaust. Excuse me for feeling that way.
You gotta be some kind of a mental case. And I mean, I've talked to a few mental cases here tonight, and we've only been on the hour for an hour and 15 minutes. You gotta be some kind of a mental case to start talking in terms of the Holocaust, because this guy didn't wash his hands after he went to the bathroom. However, having said that, Bud, I want you to get Ms. Dooley back on the line. We're going to apologize to her. I want you guys to continue your discussions here of President Obama and Governor Romney, and I don't want to hear any more about any of this other stuff.
What other stuff, Phil? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
You have been sidetracking us all night, Margaret. Please don't do it anymore, okay?
By the way, I have something to tell you, and a lot of people are commenting on this, and I'm sorry, but I want to say this.
Oh, just wait. Have you gotten the message that what I just said?
Yes.
Okay. So when we're talking about Gloyds, I don't want to hear that.
Phil, that's fine. I won't use the term, but what do you expect me to do when I am parked between these two? It's almost as if I am sitting between two very vague yet alien entities. You understand what I mean?
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
It means that when I sit down in a studio between the two of you, it's as if I'm sitting on one of those Starfleet councils that you see in those films where there's a man and then something that looks like a fish and then something that looks like it has an octopus for a head, and we're supposed to believe they all are members of the same intergalactic congress of some kind, you know?
You talk about on an interfederation of the planet?
Yes, that's... I don't know what the term is.
No, talk about a federation on a planet.
Federation of planet. So in other words, you think you're on a federation of planets?
Yes, I'm sitting here between two idiots. One of them comes from where the...
If I've got to come from Klingon land...
I'd be Klingon.
Yeah, I'd rather be a Klingon.
You see what I'm saying? This is what I'm sitting down in the middle of.
All right, okay, hold on. Bobby Dooley is rejoining us now. I do apologize, Ms. Dooley. It was not fair of you to interrupt you, and you did have the floor, and we're going to continue now with Bobby Dooley as she gives her impressions here. And let's just forget about the Federation of Planets as she continues her impressions here of Governor Romney and the comments that he made today. Go ahead, Bobby.
Thank you very much. And I want to say thank you to Margaret Gray as well. I know that she is earnest in her support of President Obama. I think that when we talk, though, Margaret, because I have sons and they love the Federation of Star Trek and those wonderful films, there's more than one.
I should say so. There's quite a few.
Yes, there are. There's quite a few. But if we're talking about a federation of planets, I would say that Bud is from Earth, and I would say that Robert is probably, okay, maybe he's a Vulcan or a Klingon, but you come from the planet that gave rise to the Horta.
All right, that's an insult. I don't know what she means by that.
I know what she means, Bobby. You know.
Go ahead and tell her.
Anyway, there's a rock people in.
they're made out of rock.
Yeah, they were rock. They just looked like lumps.
Oh, I feel so put down by that. The Horta. I know that if you were to walk into a party and say, Margaret, you remind me of one of the Horta, everyone would just say, oh, poor Margaret. If I walked into a party and said, you looked instead like a Ferengi, people wouldn't know what I was talking about, right?
Are you saying that that's what I look like?
No, I'm asking. People wouldn't know what I'm talking about, right?
Are you saying I look like a Ferengi?
Yes, I am.
You are really stupid because I... Oh, God, is she stupid.
What's new?
She said I look like a Ferengi. First of all, you have to have big ears. Okay, to even up...
Will you guys stop with all of this stuff, okay?
Yes. Yeah, Reggie Miller.
Yeah, Reggie Miller looked like a Ferengi.
All right, Reggie Miller looks like a Ferengi. And
can we stop with all of this, please?
Who's Reggie Miller?
He's a bat. We're going to take a break here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Who's Reggie Miller? I don't understand.
Reggie Miller's a basketball player who, if truth be told, does look like a Ferengi. All right, we'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. You look like one of the Horta.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. Let's talk to Bobby Dooley. All right, let's get into Mitt Romney and, let's talk about the redeeming qualities here of Mitt Romney, and then, Margaret, you go ahead and we'll hear from you some more.
Well, Phil, I just think that, as I was saying to you earlier, and as my husband Steve, I think, articulated to our homeowners meeting earlier tonight, Mitt Romney has a vision for America. It's an America that is going to be, I think, less dependent on government, an America that's more empowered, an America that stands up for itself, and an America that whose people are no longer victimized by government. And I think that when he said that people who support Barack Obama see themselves as victims, I really think that in many ways that's true, because while you are gainfully employed, Mr. Hendry, and I know that Ms. Gray is also obviously comes from a family that earns its own income and supports itself. I don't think that it's hard to imagine that you and Ms. Gray still see yourselves as sort of the victims of corporations and government.
Well, I mean, you know, don't you... You can't... All right, I can tell you that I don't.
Well, does Ms. Gray?
If I'm being allowed to talk... Am I being allowed to talk?
Go ahead.
Do I see myself as a government victim? No, I don't. Do I see myself as a victim of the corporation, of the multinational corporation? Absolutely. How can you not be victimized by the multinational corporation? Now...
Well, that's...
Well, I'm not finished. Excuse me.
So I asked you a question. I didn't ask you to go on and on and on. All right?
Well, all right.
Well, now I forgot what I was going to say.
All right. Hold the line here. Bobby, why don't I put you on hold? Margaret, do you need a glass of water?
I do. I'm getting faint, and I know why I'm getting faint.
Bobby, let me put you on hold.
Okay. Is everything all right?
Hold on, but Margaret looks a little... What's wrong?
I'm getting faint because of what I'm being forced to breathe right now.
Okay, are you talking about the air in the studio?
Yes, I'm talking about the air in the studio.
I took a bath and everything tonight.
Yeah, me too.
I took a shower. What are you breathing?
I'm breathing the air that three men have been emitting into this studio for the last hour and, let me just put my glasses on, hour and 22 minutes. And I've actually been here longer than that. I've been here since a quarter to 10 o'clock Pacific. So that is an hour and 30 and 8 plus 3. Let me just do some math.
That's an hour and 38 minutes.
Yes, an hour and 38 minutes. I'm breathing the air that the three of you have been emitting.
Okay, and I am clean, and so is Bud, and so is Robert, and you're saying what?
I'm saying that the three of you put out a stink that even if you have bathed or showered... I don't care if you've had a saline solution sprayed on you at 300 miles an hour. The three of you stink. And you stink like an open grave. And I'm sorry, Phil, to have to say that.
Yeah, that is bad.
Dad, I'm sorry.
Margaret, I don't know what you're smelling. I tell these guys, and I tell them often, you guys have taken showers tonight, right?
Yeah, I took a shower.
And I've got the most highly sensitive nose of anybody that I've ever met. All right.
Not as sensitive as mine, obviously, because I can smell you guys a block off. As a matter of fact, I did. I walked down to my car, right?
Yeah.
Well, where did I park it? A block, Robert. You know where I parked it.
You parked it down the end of the street.
Yes.
And you're telling me you can smell us down the street? You know what this is? This is just you trying to create a problem because Bobby is articulating as well as you. And you are a little upset.
No, that is not the case at all, Phil, and I am very offended by that.
Then let me ask you something. You smell us, and you can smell us a block off, and I know that I took a shower because I knew we were going to have a lady in the studio. And as you can see, Robert and Bud are dressed very nicely. I told them that they had to be dressed nice. Okay.
All right, Phil, but dressing nice doesn't mean that you don't emit an odor that would knock a buzzard off the back of a garbage wagon. My God! Get my husband, please.
Oh, here we go.
Would you please get my husband?
Call up her husband.
Who's that?
Frank Gray, you jackass.
Frank Gray's her husband. Get him on the phone. All right. Margaret, I don't, you know, for love or money, I would never, ever, ever do anything here to offend you or to otherwise. Frank, is that you? Hey, Frank?
Frank Gray, hello.
Frank, how you doing? It's Phil Hendry.
Well, I'm better than Custer. How's it going?
It's Margaret's here.
Frank, it's Margaret. Frank?
Yeah?
Frank, I want you to let Phil know about the stench that Robert has and Bud have emitted.
Hold on. Let me have another cutty sark. I'm watching this wife of Dean Wheeler, Phil. I was asked to come and look at her wife. And
who is that?
This Emerelda Wheeler. Wheeler is his name, I think.
Emerelda Wheeler?
Emerelda Wheeler. And she wanted me to come and look at her wife, and so that's what I'm doing. He's on stage right now.
And what does this Emerelda Wheeler do?
He's a singer.
He's a singer? What are you doing there?
Now, don't get your panties up in a wad and shove them all the way up into only two spots that I know they could go, you know, into.
Okay, Frank, could you just talk to her?
Well, he's getting his panties in a wad, and the There's only two places.
I understand that. Would you just talk to her?
Well, what do you want?
I want to know what you're doing listening to another woman sing. I'm a singer.
I know you're a singer. This guy Wheeler asked me to come and look at his wife, or look at her wife, or his wife is... Who's his wife? Oh, I know. That's that lesbian that I was talking to last week. What's his name again?
That you were talking to Rosie O'Donnell, and I don't think that has anything to... No, it was Ellen DeGeneres.
That's right. I was talking to him.
I don't understand how he says him when he's talking about a female.
Because she's a lesbian.
Say something.
No, Frank, nothing. I want to know what you're doing there. I'm listening.
I'm here listening to her wife because he's up on stage singing, and she wants to know if I'd be willing to manage him. Okay? Come on. He's the guy's wife. And she's looking out for his interests, that's all.
So you're there to manage a singer. I haven't known you to manage any singer since I finally left the stage some 15 years ago, and you said you would never manage another singer because...
Holy Jesus. Is he crying?
Yes, he's crying. I mean, she's crying, yeah.
Hey, honey. Honey, come on, honey.
Well, I just never...
Come on, baby doll. You know who loves you now? Come on. Who loves you?
I never...
Come on, who loves you?
You do.
That's exactly right. Now, who's my little wife? What's his name? Who's my little wife? What's his name?
Margaret.
That's exactly right. And I would never go against his interests. Now, I'm just going to be here.
All right, we got to take a break here, Frank. Can you hang on?
All right, I'm going to have another drink.
Frank, can you hang on?
Then I swear to God I'll be home by the...
I guess he can hang on.
You mean she?
What do you mean she?
Because he doesn't know the genders.
Yeah, but I know the gender. It's a he, not a she.
Now what do you all say, she?
I don't care what he says. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I can't believe
God, I didn't know it was that big of a deal.
It's a very big deal. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha.
Phil
Ouch. I spanked you.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we are online every night on Phil TV and HD at philhendryshow.com. So if you are of a mind, get a backstage pass and join us there and watch us as we do our thing here every night on Phil TV and HD. On the line with me is Larry Grover, Bobby Dooley. Ms. Dooley, we have let go for the evening because things were just getting a little intense, you know.
Well, and also I think, Phil, something needs to be said here. You know, if you can't stand the heat, you know, get out of the kitchen.
Well, I don't know that that was the case. I think the case here was that things were getting a little personal, and I wanted to separate the two of you, and you were starting to get faint, and you started to have your husband in here. Ms. Dooley didn't want to be honest with you, Bobby, or to Margaret.
My name is Margaret. It's not Bobby. I will never shorten my name.
All right, okay. I'm sorry, Margaret, okay?
Thank you. I'm not some tomboy, all right? I'm not Maggie, all right?
I understand that. I apologize. She was concerned with you.
In what sense?
Because you were feeling faint. And we got your husband on the phone, and she said, you know what, I will bow out, and...
Well, you know what, Bobby, if you're listening, I appreciate that, dear, I really do. I doubt the veracity of that, and I'll tell you why.
What's that? What does veracity mean?
What?
What's veracity mean?
It's not veracity, it's veracity. Veracity, it means truth. The truthfulness of something.
Well, that's it.
The truthfulness of something. The veracity of something is the truthfulness of something. The mendacity of something is what? What is the mendacity?
The what is it called?
The mendacity.
The mendacity.
Is the men.
But men.
No, it's not about the... Oh, God.
It's the mendacity is the falsehood of something. One's mendacity would be one's... one's lying. If one has mendacity, is the tendency to lie.
And a veracity what?
One's veracity is one's truthfulness. Okay. So in any event, you're doubting that.
I do doubt it because I had the better of her. I was really gaining the advantage on her, and I believe that I, as the men used to say in the days of dueling and wrestling, I had my man. Although that was a woman, you know.
Yeah, you had your woman.
All right, I had my woman, but I had her.
Well, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way, and I'm going to let my audience know my opinion. I think she was being very sweet. And
all right, Phil, there. We'll give you a brownie point on that. You were being very sweet, Bobby. Thank you very, very much. There. We punched your ticket, Phil. You can go see the Padre on your way out.
God, what a sarcastic...
A sarcastic what?
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you most certainly did. A sarcastic what?
I said nothing. I've got a guest on hold.
And I'd like to know, a sarcastic what? Did it start with a C and end with a T?
Yeah, it did.
That's what I thought.
I didn't say anything like that.
No, I'm just saying, if it did start with a C and end with a T, that's what it'd be.
Well, did he say that or not?
No, I didn't hear him say that.
Did it start with a B and end with an H?
Will you come on and let me talk to this guy?
No, but it started with a D and ended with a K.
Dork?
Yeah.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, what I called you started with a J and an...
All right. Will you come on, Margaret? Let's get on the line here before I destroy all the news copy that I have left. Larry Grover, Larry from Conservatives of Kern County. Good evening, Mr. Grover. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, and I've had one hell of a great time tonight, and I think your audience will agree with this statement. I've had one hell of a good time tonight listening to Ms. Gray, as she has been talking about Mitt Romney, and she has been very entertaining. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it immensely.
And what does that mean, Larry?
I'm sorry?
What does that mean? This is Margaret Gray.
Got Margaret here.
Yeah, yes, Margaret.
What does that mean, you've enjoyed it immensely?
What I'm saying is that your statements have been so over the top, you have been so petty.
No, I don't think so.
All right, let me finish, if you don't mind. I know you butted in and you butted in and you butted in until you had that Dooley woman ready to just retreat because she couldn't take it anymore. I want to be allowed to say what I want to say, and then I don't mind if you talk until the cows come home or your son comes home.
And what? Oh, God, that... Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if the shoe fits.
My son is home and studying, thank you very much.
He's studying? It's 11:30 at night.
My son is now a middle schooler on his way into high school. Thank you very much.
All right. So he's, all right, is your husband home?
My husband is, actually, my husband isn't home, is he?
No, he's not. In fact, we did have him on the line a moment ago.
Yeah, get him back on.
All right. Can I say what I want to say?
I left Frank hanging here, and so let me see what's going on with Frank Gray, if I can. Hold on, Larry. Frank, it's Phil Hendry, and I wanted to make sure that... Frank, you there?
Right here.
Okay. Did you guys finish your business?
Finish our business? What do you mean, finish our business?
Sounds like you're talking about a bowel movement. And I just heard you talking to what's-her-face. Yeah.
Talk about me, I'm a him.
Right.
Frank, it's Margaret. I think we have. I'm talking to Larry Grover about this Mitt Romney imbroglio. Romney sounding like an ass and a half. And do you have anything to add to any of it?
Oh, well, I think Romney, she's strictly for longer. And I think the only thing she's going to do is get our country laughed at. Lady Liberty will be laughed at when I see him standing there and
Mitt Romney?
No, Lady Liberty. When I see him standing there and I see him holding the, you know, the whole thing, the torch and everything that he does, you know, the thing he do, I get a lump.
In your pants?
Not in my pants, no.
Phil, can we get the two of them out of here? Because this is my husband.
Bud, don't, come on, you know.
That was a pretty good line.
Yeah, it was a very good line of what I wanted to say.
Might be, and I will give you that it was a good line, all right? But it made me look like the ass of the moment. It made me look like the ass in the hot seat, all right? And I'm supposed to be the one. Very good, Emeralda. I'll be with you in a minute. I got to talk to this Emeralda because he just came off the bandstand, Margaret. What do you want me to do? Okay?
Well, is it necessary to talk to her right now?
I told Dean Wheelum, or whatever her name is, I talked to her husband, and he just came off the bandstand. What do you want me to do? It's your call.
Go ahead and talk to her, and then call us back.
All right, let me go over now. I do a little management on the side, Phil. What do you want me to do?
All right, Frank, thank you very much, buddy.
You got it.
Frank Gray. All right, Dean, not Dean Wheeler, Larry Grover back on the phone here in Culver City. Okay, Larry.
All right, well, what I was basically trying to say here, Phil, before you went over to the gentleman with the neurosyphilis, and
that is not necessary.
I understand, Ms. Gray, but I think there is a time and a place where some of these things need to be articulated.
That was not necessary. That is my husband.
I know he's your husband, but the man is talking about a him and a her. He called Lady Liberty a him. He's talking about someone's wife being a him. And he talked about you being a him and a her, and he talked about me being a her one night, and I will never forget that night, and I will never forgive him for that night. All right?
And that is exactly what I was saying. You are taking very personally a problem that my husband has. And he has been to some of the best physicians in the world.
But you know what? Neurosyphilis is nothing to have a kick and get your kicks and your cookies. Because a guy, you know, if you're getting your cookies off because some guy's got neurosyphilis, boy, I feel sorry for you.
Who would ever, in their right mind, get some kind of a kick out of that?
But we ain't talking about cookie.
Bud,
I'm talking about neurosyphilis.
What?
That's what that Frank Gray guy got on account of he mixing up everybody's gender. Remember he called you a her?
Yeah, that's right.
That's why he says the things he says, okay?
Yeah, and when you get your jollies and you get your cookies thinking about a guy with neurosyphilis, brother, I got to tell you, you're all kinds of messed up. You are all kinds of wet, every kind of wet there is. And I will tell you, Phil, that Frank Gray needs to visit a doctor.
All right, now that we have your opinion of my husband, can we get back to the point?
Absolutely get back to the point. And the point is this. Mitt Romney was talking to people in the privacy of his own home.
It was not his home. Are you going to address the actual specifics of this situation?
Excuse me, but to quote you, Ms. Gray, I have the floor.
Go ahead.
I don't give a damn if it was his own home or his own private hotel suite. He was in the privacy of a meeting that he was having with his own staff. Now, a man needs to be entitled to a certain freewheeling style when he's talking to his staff. If he is so-called misspeaking, he may be misspeaking for a reason. Maybe he wants that to be the message. Maybe he...
So he wants the message to be something that is not true.
Ms. Gray, if you don't shut up, I'll hang my phone up.
Don't tempt me.
No, okay.
He hung up.
Well, Phil, then he wasn't very confident in what he had to say.
One of the things, though, that we have to do here, okay?
You made him hang up. Phil's going to be mad.
Excuse me, would you back off of me? And I told you, Phil, I have stayed in this studio even with the stink that has now doubled in intensity in the last half hour.
Fine, but I'm going to say something, okay?
Well, what do you mean, fine?
There's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to say something. Now, you have been butting in all night. You have an inability, Ms. Gray, to follow a conversation in a normal manner. Know when and when not to interrupt. And it happened tonight, and it's happened on the phone.
Then why do you have me in your studio?
I have you in my studio because you're a well-spoken woman. You're a good friend, Margaret. I like you.
Well, you have not treated me that way at all. I've been reduced to tears on this program tonight. I've had to sit here with the wafting of the, I don't know what. I have to tell you something, Phil. Is that ass that I smell?
Or will you come on, please?
Don't throw paper at me.
Will you come on? All of us have taken showers. I told the guys to splash on some cologne. I walked into this place, and to use the cliche, it smells like a French whorehouse, to be honest with you. These guys have splashed on so much cologne. I told Bud to make sure that he took a thorough shower. Robert, take a thorough shower. I took a thorough shower.
And were you in the bathroom with Bud when he did this?
Yeah, you all said when she did this. You probably got the same syphilitic. Your husband...
Shut it up.
Get your hands off of him.
He does that again, I swear to God.
Don't put your hands on his throat, okay?
Man.
God.
What do you mean, God? You're looking at me like I'm an animal or something.
You did, man. You almost tried to choke out Bud.
I didn't choke him out. If I wanted to choke him out, believe me, he wouldn't have a head right now.
Good God, Margaret.
Just don't mess with me, all right?
She almost squeezed my head off.
Margaret, look, I'm just saying, we all took showers, okay?
Then what am I smelling?
Have you checked your purse?
Have I checked my purse for what?
Maybe it's some gag your kid played.
It's true. Maybe Jason J. Delmonico knew you were coming in here.
Well, my son would... What are you two saying?
I'm saying, check your purse. Maybe the kid...
Oh, my God.
I told you.
What is it?
Oh, my God.
What is it?
What is it, Margaret?
Oh! Oh! Oh!
She just walked out of here.
Man, what'd she say to the purse?
I go, what?
You better not. You'll piss her off. Margaret! What's she doing, warming up or something?
I don't know. She had something in her purse.
Well, you were right, Robert. Man, it was something in her purse.
Yeah, she kept saying she smelled something, man. Because I know I smell good.
Yeah, I changed my drawers, too.
Well, good for you. You changed your drawers. You didn't wash after, you know what. Margaret.
Woo! Woo!
What the hell did she find in her purse, man? We've got to take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Go, I'll go find her.
Truth is
Margaret.
Our bitch. The Phil Whoa. Hendry Show.
Whoa!
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a few more minutes here in this hour. So what happened, Margaret?
What happened was this, and I'm glad the three of you are getting a big laugh, you know.
We didn't know what happened. All we saw was you walking out.
What happened was this. I had the big bag. This is my beach bag, the bag that I have here.
That's the one right there?
No. What other bag am I holding? Oh, God.
Bud, that's her bag.
Yeah.
Amparo, who is our my girl, and she is, basically, she's in our home 24/7. We do have a maid's quarters, but she goes home on weekends. Now, I had said to her, would you stop off at the 17th Street Fish Market, which is in Santa Monica, and I said, would you pick us up a salmon flank. And she picked up salmon steaks and said instead, and I said, why would you do that? I said, salmon flank, please. Well, she said, Miss Gray, do you want me to take back? And I said, no, leave them there. They were frozen.
So you had what, salmon steaks?
They were salmon steaks that I put absentmindedly into this bag. This is my travel bag. This is what I put my tape recorder in. This is what I put my news in. This is what I put... my journalistic tools in.
Oh, man, you got a dirty stick. You got a dirty fish on it.
Can I finish, please, without having him turning this into a filthy middle school joke? Okay?
Go ahead, bud, please.
Every time I talk about something, you've got this one here turning everything into something you scrawl on a toilet stall.
You got a dirty fish, you.
Bud, come on.
So, yes, sure enough, 3 days later, and I'm smelling the stink, and of course I think maybe it's Frank. Who I love dearly, but he's getting older. And I said, well, okay, is it Frank? Did he go in his drawers? Did he go in his underwear again? And I asked him, Frank, have you checked your underwear today? And he gave me an argument, so I thought, okay, it's got to be Frank. But as I was sitting here...
Can I just ask you a question?
What?
Your husband now craps himself and he doesn't even...
Would you tell that to shut... Who are you laughing at?
Shut up, bud. Frank is going in his pants...
He's getting on in years, Phil. It's natural.
Okay.
Well, what does ha mean? You know, I'll admit, Phil, your breath is fine. It's actually sweeter than most men's. But when you go ha, it still washes over me in a wave of insolence and insult. What does that mean?
Wow, I don't think I've ever had anybody say that to me before.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What does ha mean?
Yes.
It's hard to believe that you can live with a man who is your husband, who is otherwise a cognizant and together guy who's going out and doing these business meetings with singers and is conducting business in his law office. And at the same time, he has neurosyphilis and he is now not, he needs a diaper.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Well, where are you going?
I'm going to where my purse is.
Well, what do you think? Look at this. That is so childish of you.
Wait a minute. Yeah, well, hold on. I haven't finished yet. Who are you calling childish?
I'm calling you childish. The whole night you've been childish. The whole night you've been childish. From the minute you sat down, you've been childish. You don't like what he's saying. You don't like what he's saying. You don't like what Bobby's saying. You won't let anybody get any word in edgewise. You start bawling. You need to have your husband to call up.
Yeah. Yeah, you tell her, Phil.
Shut up. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, you're talking about me, my breath washing over you in a wave of insolence and disrespect. You're talking about all kinds of weird stuff that me and Bud and Robert smell, and the stink that emanates from us, three men that you've had to bring, and now we find out it's some fish that you left in your bag. It wasn't us at all. Even after I told these guys to make sure they take a shower, and they put on nice shirts, and they look nice because we have a lady in the studio.
Yeah, she did, Ms. Gray. Everything that Mr. Harris said is true.
And what do we get in return? We get your arrogance, your pridefulness, talking to us like we're just garbage, calling Bud and Robert a couple of extraterrestrials, talking about Robert like he's a gloid, using all kinds of insulting words.
I'm sorry.
I'm not asking for an apology. I'm just telling you.
No, I really am. I'm sorry. I was nervous.
It's understandable.
That's totally understandable, Ms. Gray.
Well, I was very nervous, and I wanted to make a very good impression. And
but look at Margaret. There's nothing wrong with being nervous. I mean, we're all nervous. I'm nervous every damn night.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. I'm not kidding.
You've been doing this how many years, and you still get nervous?
I get nervous every single night I'm on the air, of course. It's a live performance. It's 3 hours. It's brutal. And so we're all in this together. We support each other. You don't have to fight us. You look to us for help and support. That's why we're here, you know?
Yeah, we'll help you out and everything.
I mean, I'll help you. I don't know a lot about it, but...
Well, but you know a lot, Bud, in your own way, you know?
I'm sorry I called you a gloid, Bud. I don't apologize to people easily. It's not in my nature because I don't usually do anything I need to apologize for. But in this instance... And only in this instance will I say I'm sorry that I said that.
Well, that's okay, I guess. A lot of time I do dumb stuff, too.
I'm not saying I did anything dumb so much as I did something that was hurtful. And I'm sorry as well to you, Phil, and to you, Robert, and to you, Bud, for saying that you had not good hygiene. I realize now... What is that?
That's the music. We're ending the hour.
You know, even when I'm apologizing, you insist on being rude.
We have to end the hour. It's bumper music. Margaret.
Margaret.
Never mind.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, you know, grow up, will you?
Grow up, will you? Yeah, grow up, will you?
How does it feel? Do you like it?
No, I don't like it.
No, Phil I don't like
Hendry.
It.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And, of course, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Now, you know that we are on our website on Phil TV and HD, so you can get a backstage pass and join us for our video casts. And we do Q&As on our video cast occasionally. We're going to do one this Friday night following the show. So following our broadcast this coming Friday night at 1 a.m., that would be 1 a.m. technically early Saturday morning, we're going to do a question and answer Q&A on our website and here on Phil TV and HD. So get your backstage pass and join us for that. We are also going to be here for the Super Bowl. Phil will be, you know, we call it Sunday Football with Phil. And we'll be here for the Super Bowl, so we'll watch the ball game with you. And it will be perhaps during that game, but we've gotten an awful lot of requests that we may actually either crack a cold one or bring out the Don Julio. So we'll see. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell, who is a contributor to our program in a variety of ways, having to do with news, employment, as well as family, is joining us this hour. And we're going to talk about Facebook and what Facebook's IPO, that is initial public offering, and really what Mark Zuckerberg being back in the news means to the average person, to the average man. Stephen Bozell has instituted the beginning steps of a lawsuit, not against Mark Zuckerberg, but against the San Jose Mercury News and other newspapers, other publications and news websites for reporting the news and reporting about Mr. Zuckerberg the way they do. It's a very, very fascinating story, and let's bring on now from Corona, California, Steve Bozell, a father of two, a husband, the owner of his own construction company, and as I found out talking to you in our pre-interview this evening, Steve, you were raised in a two-parent home, obviously, but it was your mother who got you into the construction business.
Yes, sir. That is absolutely correct.
Your mother was the one who had the construction business?
My mother started out, she had a roofing business, and she went into general, she had a general contractor license, and I worked for my mother through high school.
Oh, and what did your dad do?
My father was basically a bartender. He worked briefly at two restaurants, one of the country clubs in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, which is where I grew up, and another country club outside of Knoxville, and worked at Mosby's, which is a steakhouse in Knoxville.
And would you say that your mother was the breadwinner?
Well, I would say my mother probably earned most of the money, yeah. But I don't really talk, a lot about it, because people will tend to make a big deal out of somehow that's going to affect, whether I'm a man or not. And I don't like to.
Are you telling me people question your manhood because you learned your construction trade?
Well, no, I mean, I don't. It's funny what people will do. I just want people to know that I have, I'm in my family, I'm the man. And I don't want anybody thinking that's not the case. And certainly with a story like this story about Facebook and Mr. Zuckerberg, it tests, I think, every man in the world. It tests your own personal capacity to stand up like a man and be counted. And it tests just how tall and straight and strong you can stand when you're in the face of this kind of thing that you see. I have always...
All right, well, let me interrupt you here. You have taken exception to a San Jose Mercury article about Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes, sir.
And you've also proposed... Have you talked to your attorney? I don't really know what it is you want to do.
Well, what we're asking them to do is to simply strike the sentence from their story, to print a retraction, and to reprint the story, striking the phrase. And the phrase is, referring to Mark Zuckerberg, a college dropout, 27 years old, brings Wall Street to its knees.
Now, what are you finding fault about that?
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm pushing 40. I'm 39 years old. I'm going to be 40 this June. And I worked very hard in my life, and I've got a little bit. Probably don't have as much as some, but I know now at this point in my life I'm never going to have, that kind of money. And when they say, a college dropout at 27 brings a Wall Street to its knees, there's a flip side to that. What they're saying basically is, what are you? You're nothing.
Well, look, I don't know that they're saying that.
Absolutely. See, there's the in law, and I was told by Ms. Blasingame, who's my attorney, Dolores Blasingame, in law they recognize something called negative evidence, or the lack of evidence being proof. What's unspoken there is that I'm a loser, that you're, I don't know about you, but what's unspoken there individually for me is they're telling me I'm a loser. And they're telling every man listening to your broadcast right now that they're losers. And
so the lawsuit is what?
the lawsuit is asking for a retraction.
Well, are they going to retract by stating we are sorry?
We would simply ask them to take that phrase out of the story and to reprint the story in a more respectful way to do it, instead of printing a story that it reminds me, when I read that line, a college dropout, 27 years old, he brings Wall Street to his knees, it reminds me of every failure that I've ever done.
I can tell that there's a little bit of emotion in your voice.
Yes, sir.
And that this is a story that is something very personal for you, isn't it?
I think it's personal for any man, Mr. Henry, to read about some, essentially, some punk who got a idea and now he's got millions and millions. And I've worked my whole life trying the very best that I can. And I would probably take a job working for this guy as a driver, because he could probably pay me money that I would think is good money. I mean, that's the part that hurts me more than anything.
You're going to have to run that by me again.
I'm simply saying the kind of salary that this guy could pay, I would probably quit my job today and work, as a houseboy.
As a houseboy. So you think that Mark Zuckerberg has that kind of... Well, obviously, he has the kind of bread to have houseboys or butlers or whatever, but do you think he's going to pay enough money to a houseboy that would rival what you make as the owner of your company?
In the middle of this recession? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, what do you think millionaires pay houseboys?
Well, I can tell you that I know that some domestic staff in many homes that are well-to-do, they make upwards of six figures a year, without any low six figures a year. Personal assistant, that kind of thing. And my wife, when I told her I was coming on your program and I talked to Dolores, she'd asked me who I was calling. I said, I'm calling Dolores Blanson. And she got angry because my wife has a great deal of hatred for Dolores Blanson, which is a whole area that I'd like to touch on with you sometime.
All right.
But I said to her that, I'm going to go on the Phil Henry show. And she said to me, are you going to talk about Zuckerberg? She said, yeah. She said, you mean the man, that you could be a houseboy for? And I said,
go ahead.
I said to her, boy, that hurt.
I don't think that your wife said you could be a houseboy for Mark Zuckerberg because that came to her mind spontaneously. I think she thought that because that's what you had, said.
Well, no. There's no question I put that in her mind, but my whole point is this. This man, Manuel Enrique of Palo Alto Hercules, he said that this is a tectonic shift in the history of capitalism and that Mark Zuckerberg, a college dropout, 27 years old, brings Wall Street to its knees, and that's like saying that Steve Bozell, Phil Henry, or whoever out there in the listening area, are losers and are no, I've worked my whole life. I ain't never gonna have any. Well, he has.
All right, so, and that's very true, and I won't either, sir. So let's just put that...
Well, and that doesn't bother you.
No, it doesn't bother me. Would I like to have that kind of bread? Sure. I mean, what bread to me represents is the ability to do stuff. If you have a lot of money, you can do a lot of things. There's a lot of things you can do, but be that as it may, we have to work with the resources we have,
I'm asking you a straight question. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of money?
Yes, the answer is absolutely yes.
Well, Mr. Henry, you're older than me. Don't you go to bed at night thinking, looking at yourself, what a loser?
No, sir, I try not to look at myself and say, what a loser. I've got a good life, I've got a good career, I make a good dollar, I'm not,
Well, but don't you have to say that on account of you being on the radio?
No, I don't have to say anything I don't want to say. I'm saying you're bringing a legal action against a newspaper for printing the line, 27 years old, he brings Wall Street to his knees, because that makes you look like a loser, you think, and all of my other listeners, and I believe that you may be overreacting to that.
No, I'm not overreacting to that. If you look at... Forget it.
No, not forget it. We have another minute.
Well, if you just look at on the surface, I'm working my whole life, and this Zuckerberg has... He has more money. He's got more money than any man I've ever heard about. And...
All right, I tell you what. Let me take a break here, Steve.
No, but...
Hold on for a minute. Let's take a break. 877-876-7445. Mark Zuckerberg, to quote the San Jose Mercury News, a college dropout, 27 years old, brings Wall Street to its knees. That's an impressive statement, isn't it? It's an impressive thing. And Mr. Enriquez, the man who said that, also said it is a tectonic shift in the history of capitalism, this initial public offering by Facebook to raise $5 billion. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. We're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're on Saturday nights for our local show, and you can watch us on Phil TV and HD on our website, philhendryshow.com. We are also at Twitter, at twitter.com/realphilhendry. That's my personal account over there. And then we have twitter.com/philhendryshow. And if you want to visit us over at Facebook, we're all over that too. Facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, spelled PHANS. Stephen Bozell joining us here from Corona, California, as we discuss Mark Zuckerberg's IPO. $5 billion he's hoping to raise. None of that bothers you, Steve, right?
Well, it doesn't bother me, Mr. Hendry. I realize that's the nature of the beast. I realize that in a capitalistic society, there's always going to be somebody who's going to, well, have more money and is going to be better looking. And, you know, I'll go out and take my wife to a restaurant. And no matter how hard I work, no matter how, you know, much I maybe buy good clothes or I try to take a shower and put on good cologne or however, there's going to be a guy in the restaurant, you know, who's more, I don't know how you want to put it, more endowed.
All right. Okay. So what's this got to do with?
Well, I'm just saying. You know, for them to put it into print the way they did, okay, it's one thing to say the man did a good thing. Now they're saying he's 27 years old, he brings Wall Street to its knees. That is a direct threat to me and to every man that's not, you know, any kind of a genius when it comes to business, makes us look like losers. And I would simply like the San Jose Mercury News to recant that and to take it out.
Take that statement out.
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. I'm going to go over to a phone call here. We have Ken on the line. Ken, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I don't have a problem with Zuckerberg and no one else in America who catches an idea and turns it into a profit. You know, America is built off capitalism. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get off the line, because I know you don't have a lot of time for everybody. Somewhere along the line, this guy in California, someone has told him that he's nothing but a loser, and he's bought into that all his life. There's no way in the world dude should be thinking about he's a loser. He owns his own construction company. Come on, guy. You're not a loser.
Yes, sir, I do. I do, sir, but here's the thing. I make, you know, a good amount of money, but... Here comes this guy, Zuckerberg, who's 27 years old. He's single. That means he's got, I mean, you know it. Don't you understand what I'm saying?
Listen. No, I don't get it. Listen to me. I don't get it, okay?
Oh, my God.
I don't have as much money as you do. I drive a truck for a living. I make an okay living. I put an ex-wife through college. I put my son through school, okay? I'm single now.
Yeah.
I'm a girlfriend, but I'm not trying to be rich. Rich is not in my timeline in my life. Some of us will be rich. Some of us won't. Just do what you do. You are what you are. It is what it is.
I mean, that's pretty good advice, Steve.
Well, I know, but every time I open up a newspaper, and I see the name, and there it is, Mark Zuckerberg, and he's single, and he's going to have $5 billion, that means pretty much any kind of, you know, I don't know how I can put it, any kind of poon.
And all right, okay. I don't know what you're saying there.
I cut the word in half. But he can get... If I could just say he'd get any kind of poon he wants.
And all right, I understand. Any woman that he wants. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Just say woman.
Mark Zuckerberg is a little 27-year-old punk kid who has got gonna have $5 billion. Haul the poon. And I think it's unfair. And I said so.
And you want the San Jose Mercury News to take the phrase out, he's brought Wall Street to its knees.
Yes, sir, I do. And I'll tell you something else. That gentleman that I spoke, that's a good man, you know.
Yes, he was a very good man, and he had very, very sound advice.
Yes. And I know he believes what he says, but I just think if you have been eating cat meat your whole life, you think...
Oh, I get it. So that guy's been eating cat meat his whole life, huh?
If you eat stir-fried cat, well, you're not going to... Are you going to complain?
If it's all I know, I guess, no, I won't complain.
That's my point.
And, Steve, how do you know you're not eating stir-fried cat, and that gentleman that just called is eating beef bourguignon, or he's eating filet mignon?
Well, I don't even know what that is. What do you mean, beef? No one's ever heard of that.
Okay, great. 877-876-PHIL. I think that man hit the nail on the head. You've been called a loser your whole life. Here is Joe on the Phil Hendry Show. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, I'm just sitting here driving down the road with a semi. I just want to tell a guy, quit beating yourself up. You know, riches ain't going to make you happy. Yeah, I'm not making money, but I've got family that live in Knoxville that are multi-millionaires, and they got more problems than anybody I know. And I just think that this guy is beating himself up and think you got to cause a lawsuit and just live your life and be happy.
Don't you think that when we see a chance in life that we ought to stand our ground and just say, you know, you can't just go throwing some guy's money up in my face?
It was an article in a paper. I don't see how they're
That's
throwing anything in your face. You know, I don't see how they're throwing anything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, Steve?
No, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying because I know it doesn't bother this gentleman, but I'm saying to you, sir, and I'm saying to all the men out there, we need to be bothered when some newspaper says, look at this kid, 27-year-old, just a bunch of losers.
No, they're not saying that. They're reporting the business news. All right, listen, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about Mark Zuckerberg and the fact that these, one of the quotes says that he's 27 years of age, he's a college dropout, he's brought Wall Street to its knees, and Mr. Bozell, a construction contractor in Corona, California, would like that quote taken from the article. He says it insults and demeans every man who reads it and calls the rest of us losers. 877-876-PHIL. What do you think? The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, man, would you please listen to me?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're back here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, as we talk about a line in the San Jose Mercury newspaper of today, a line describing Mark Zuckerberg, the young man who founded Facebook, who at the age of 27, and this is the quote, at the age of 27, a college dropout, he has brought Wall Street to its knees. Obviously, he's quite the success story. And, Mr. Bozell, you don't like that line. You find it humiliating.
Yes, sir.
You find it, you think that it humiliates not just you, but every man that reads it. You think it basically screams to every guy that reads it, you're a loser.
Yes, sir. And I also, the inherent statement that it does not deal with, and that is, it's saying, basically, you know, this kid can get any, I mean, I don't want to put it in any way that would be not, you know, family friendly or anything, but it's basically saying this kid can get any kind of tail that he wants.
You could just say woman, any kind of.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I think that hurts more than anything.
Why does that hurt more than anything?
I mean, to have so much money that all you got to do is just say to any woman you see, you know, get over here. I mean, I don't want to disrespect no women. And
so you think women, there is a point where you have so much money, there isn't a woman that you would see that wouldn't want to be with you. So in other words, married women. Women that are in love with their men. You think there's a point?
Yes, sir, I do. And Mr. Rennie, I respect women more than any man. I dare say any man you can think of. But you know, there was a great line in a movie that I heard one time where the man said, you know, given the right time and the right place, a woman will do anything. I mean, she will do anything. And
boy, you got a lot of respect for women, then, huh?
Well, I'm not saying that that's...
You're not saying that's bad, huh? So, with enough money, no matter who, a man can have any woman he wants.
God help me for saying it, but yes. God forgive me.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Here is James. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir. Is this James or Lance? Whoever, who is this?
This is James.
Go ahead, James. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to know why this guy is so intimidated by this Zuckerberg, and why he's so worried about this guy Mark can get any woman he wants. Isn't this guy married? Doesn't he respect his wife? What's up with that?
Steve?
Yes, sir, I am married. I do love my wife very much.
So why are you so worried about this other guy can get any woman? And you're disrespecting a woman by calling her a poon, let alone a tail. You know, right there tells me how you think of women, and I'm sure all the other listeners are agreeing with me on that. You couldn't even come around and say woman until Phil here said, why can't you just say woman? And you still had trouble saying it. You know, and why intimidates you so much?
What? Yeah, that is the question.
Well, okay, I think you're making a good point, and all I'm saying is, sir, intimidate is not. He doesn't really intimidate me. It's that he has, at the age of 27. I mean, it's almost like he's got more money than Jesus himself would have miracled for. If Jesus was going to miracle his own, I guess you could say, if Jesus was going to miracle his own wealth. That's more money than Jesus probably.
Let me ask you this: Are you jealous of Bill Gates? He's got a. How about Donald Trump? He can get any woman he wants too. You know.
Well, not really, because. Not really, because this guy Zuckerberg's got them both beat because he's doing it at 27.
Well,
you know
Donald or Mick Jagger was 27 once too and had money up the wazoo and could have any woman he wants.
But he didn't do it in the business world. He did it in rock and roll, which everybody knows. That doesn't mean anything. Any idiot can do that. I'm talking about being in the business land, and this guy's 27, and he's a genius at business, and he with that much money, he could literally have any woman, and that's what Mr. Henry didn't want me to say, but...
You're saying something that I think is even more insulting than what James is saying. You're saying, not you're saying anything insulting, James, but what you're describing. You're saying that every woman has a price. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes, sir.
And Mark Zuckerberg now has the money to meet the price of any woman on Earth.
Yes, sir.
Well,
and you're jealous of that.
Let me ask you this question. This gentleman from California here who's upset with this Zuckerman guy, what is the price his wife would accept? That sounds to me like he's worried that this
he's not married. Are you talking about my wife?
No. I'm talking about this guy from California here that we're talking with.
Yeah, that's me, sir. I would say the following thing. My wife, I love her very deeply. If Mark Zuckerberg come along and opens up, basically just shows her what he's got, what am I going to do? There's nothing I can do about it. And that's the other thing that I think you're missing the understanding part of that Mr. Henry is too. If Mark Zuckerberg come down to my area and his wife
would leave you if some stranger, some guy in the media, some guy written in the newspaper comes by and opens his wallet, then your wife doesn't love you to begin with. My wife wouldn't do that.
I don't think that that's the case. I think that my wife, I don't think you can fault a woman when she finally finds the price.
That's ridiculous. If your wife loves you and some millionaire, zillionaire, quadrillionaire walks up and goes, hey, you know, how about $2 million to be with me for the night or to come live with me or whatever, and your wife does that, what kind of relationship?
I would say, $2 million, sir, you're talking about that movie that I've seen, that Indecent Proposal. Okay.
You're talking about you're intimidated because this guy has $5 billion and he can have any woman he wants. Now, I ask you the question, if this guy comes up to your wife, is your wife going to walk away with this guy after he opens his wallet to her? And if she walks away with this guy, then I don't think you have any type of relationship to begin with your wife. How long have you been married to her? I've been married
18 years.
I've been married
18
for
years.
Years. I've been married for
okay, but I'm... My point is this. You're missing my point. My point is this. You and me, if we were standing on a front lawn one day with our wives, and Mark Zuckerton comes over from his car and says, take a look at what I got, you know, and both of our wives left, I would say to you, hey, you know, more power to them.
I am secure with not only my marriage, but my life.
Well,
to where I don't think those thoughts.
You may not think those thoughts, but what I'm trying to say to you is, it's a real threat.
It's a real threat, huh, that Mark Zuckerberg's going to come up to the front of your house.
I'm saying every... You guys don't get it.
I can't believe what you're saying. That
every woman has a price. You meet her price.
Woman,
and man, she'll put her ankles before.
Okay, let's watch the dirty talk, okay? Do you mind?
Sorry.
My wife doesn't have a price because she loves me. All right?
I believe she loves you, sir. I believe she loves you. I believe she loves you very much. She loves you up to that price. And once that price is met,
I already know that. That's because I'm secure in my marriage and I don't wake up or look in the mirror and go, geez, this guy over here's got all this money. I'm such a loser. I am very comfortable with... I'm a truck driver.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be comfortable. I'm not saying that you... And I'm saying that it's good that you're comfortable. I'm comfortable, but I'm doing... See, the thing that makes different for me to you, I think about these things so you don't have to.
On national radio... and starts to talk about somebody that he probably has never met or talked to in person and emotionally breaks down has got an insecure life. That's all I have to say about that. Because
well, all right, but
like that over somebody that has that kind of money, you got to either be insecure or very, very jealous.
Okay, I'm not jealous. I'm simply saying I know how the world works. And I believe your wife loves you, and my wife loves me. But they love us up to, you know, a number of zeros. If a guy comes along with extra zeros, guess what? They hit their love limit.
My wife's going to leave for $2 zillion. I don't think so. Because my wife...
Well, I mean, the key word there is think. And
okay, Steve. You know, Steve, you made a comment, Steve. You said you think about these things so guys like James don't have to. Now, all you've done is gotten yourself worked up. James doesn't believe you. Mark Zuckerberg may be a guy that can have any woman he wants. But for you to say that every woman has a... For you to say every woman has a price...
Mr. Henry, you know and James knows that given the right place and the right time, and there's nobody around and nobody watching, a woman will do anything.
Not quite, dude. Some women do have morals, praise the Lord, and some women don't need what you're talking. If your wife walks away for a price, then you better rethink the marriage.
I'm telling you, sir, I'm just saying, if you turn on enough lights and you get enough cameras going, women will do anything.
Boy. Wow.
Phil,
your wife included.
Okay, I got to take a break. James, thank you, sir, for your call, though. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Given enough lights...
That is correct, sir.
This is the emotionalism that gentleman was talking about.
Well, you know, if I can be allowed to be emotional over the possibility that my wife is going to go away with Mark Zuckerman and, you know, get put on that million-dollar smile because some guy just turned on about five lights and got six cameras going.
All right, why don't you hang on, okay?
Okay.
We may want to break it off with this guy, Bud.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's a wreck. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour coming up next.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I just heard some music there. I don't know what that was, bud. We have on the line with us Stephen Bozell. We've got a couple of more, just a few more minutes with Mr. Bozell to talk with him about this fear that you have of Mark Zuckerberg, all of this money. It's a humiliating thing that they said he's 27 and that he has brought Wall Street to its knees and that he's a college dropout. He's a major success. And now you've been talking to our producer.
Yes, sir. And the reason why I did is I had him get a song. I have heard. I asked him if they do have, if you do have a song to play, because the song is a song about what a woman's capable of. And boy, I'll tell you.
Okay, bud, have you got that?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead and roll the tune. I don't know what this song is. Do you know what... Okay, this is the Andrea True, right?
Yes, sir. Now, what you're hearing here is the Andrea True connection, and she's going to be singing about... When I hear this, I think about my wife, your wife. It could be anybody's wife. If this guy Zuckerberg gets a hold of your wife, this is it. And you'll hear there's a section of the song where she goes, get the camera...
Hold on. But if you want to know
how I really feel, just keep the cameras rolling. Right there. Keep the action going. Baby, you know, right. My love
for you is real. Okay, so take me where you want to. May my heart just see you. Yes, sir. I got to tell you, Steve, I got to tell you I'm laughing.
Okay, you can laugh if you want to. You want to laugh at me? You can laugh. Go ahead, turn it off. You want to laugh at me?
You're telling me if Mark Zuckerberg gets a hold of your wife, she turns into... You know who Andrea True was. She was an adult film actress in the 70s.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I mean, she's singing about being an adult film actress. She was, you know, I think she recorded that song in the Bahamas while she was down there doing a movie.
Yeah, I'm just saying when I hear that song.
You think about your wife, April?
Yes, I do.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go to a phone call. We have Torrin on the line. Torrin, go ahead. You're on with Stephen Bozell, sir.
Yes, I'm calling in to ask, Steve, I don't understand. It sounds like you're emotionally unstable. It sounds like you don't even really trust your own wife. And I don't understand that. If you love her like the way you say you do, why would you suspect a man that she's never met, younger than her probably, that Mark Zuckerberg travels in a world that you don't even travel in? Why would you even want to say something like that about your own wife whom you say you love?
I do love her, sir. I love her very much, you know. And I wouldn't... Here's the thing that maybe you guys wouldn't want me to say, but I wouldn't even... If April got turned into some kind of drink... God forgive me for saying this, sir, but if my wife got turned into a drink whore by Mark Zuckerberg, I probably would understand it.
Oh, my God. A drink whore. That's what you just called your wife.
No.
You, in other words, you're saying your wife can be bought with a drink. That's what you said, man. It's got nothing to do with money. Just hanging around a bar, huh?
I'm just saying, if she knew who Mark Zuckerberg, she knows Mark Zuckerberg's got a lot of money. Mark Zuckerberg, with all the money that he's got, could turn any woman into a drink whore.
Why would you even make a statement like that about the woman that you say you love? That doesn't make any sense.
Because I know what women, what their limits are. I know that women are not saints. I know they're good people. But you know as well as I do, sir, if you read your Bible, they're more capable because they've been closer to the serpent.
Oh,
sir,
come on, will you, man? Will you get this religious stuff?
Don't, Mr. Henry, don't offend my religion.
Oh, well, yeah, but this is medieval, man. It's medieval. It's when they used to say that women were this and that and they used to burn them at the stake. You want to do that, too?
Of course I don't.
Well, then stop it with that nonsense.
Sir, you yourself are capable of doing something, and if I were Mark Zuckerberg, I really would be very, you know, would worry about a person like you, because you seem like you're a very unstable person. You're envious of the man.
You're envious of the man,
and you don't even care.
No, I'm not.
The man don't even know you.
I'm not enemies of Mark Sugarman. I would never do nothing to him. And
some of his name's Mark Sugarman?
I mean Zuckerberg, I'm sorry. I would never do nothing to him. I would understand. I just hope and pray it never does happen, that's all. Otherwise?
You'd understand if your wife goes off and he's got the cameras rolling.
Yes, sir. And you want to laugh at that, Mr. Henry?
Have your wife ever cheated on you?
Not that I know of.
Then does she know that you're saying these things about her?
I think my wife understands. She understands because I pointed out to her in the paper today. I said, here's this. I showed her the picture of Sugarberg. And she said, yeah. And I said, look at the money he's got. I said, you go ahead and go take a trip around the world for that, wouldn't you?
God, you talking that way to your wife?
Mr. Henry, I'm trying to be...
God, was this at breakfast? Dude, are your kids there? I mean, I just want to get the whole picture of your family.
I mean,
are you talking to your wife like this? Would you take a trip around the world for this guy? This cat here, Torrin, and the rest of these guys are right, man. You're paranoid. What is with this music?
Get to us. You hear that? That's my wife, April. Are you married, sir? Is Torrin, are you married, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how'd you like it if your wife was saying, get the cameras going?
First of all, sir, if a woman did that to me, and if I was married to her, and if she did something like that to me, no amount of money in the world could be able to hold her anyway. And the bottom line is, my wife is not like that. And I don't believe yours is either. I can't believe you would even talk like that about your own wife. What kind of
own
man
wife.
Are you?
All right. Hey, listen, Torin, very good call. I appreciate it. Mr. Bozell, good luck with this injunction against the Sacramento Mercury News to take out the line about this guy. Oh, will you turn off more?
My wife, get the cameras going. Get the action going.
Oh.
Phil Hendry.
More.